That was a simple message that has been in my spirit. And we're going to read it in the King James Version first, Romans chapter number 8. And this is an encouraging word for us today, because we live in times where we have all kind of reasons to be discouraged.
That's right. Amen.
And afraid.
Amen.
And anxious.
Yes.
All that stuff that the Bible tells us not to be. He was telling us not to be it because he knew that there was going to be times when we would be it.
Amen.
Or we would be tempted to be it because of the conditions of the world.
Amen.
And we're in those days where things get rough and tough and hard. And things don't make sense.
Right.
And we wonder, as Mother Brex is saying, we wonder why. Why, Lord? And we're tempted to be discouraged. But I was just I was thinking about, and I believe the Lord was encouraging me about how the enemy will try to move us away from the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel, that the enemy will try to make this seem so difficult. It's almost like God didn't want us to find him. You know, when the scriptures say, seek the Lord while it may be found, the enemy will say, see, God trying to hide from you. No. It's just telling you that we've been separated from God by our sin. And sin comes in the way and blurs the vision of God.
Yeah, right.
So God comes around and sends a word and says, seek me.
Yeah.
Everything that you're trying to find, it's in me.
Amen.
I'm what you need. I'm what you've been crying for. I'm what you've been looking for.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Amen.
Seek me while I may be found.
Amen.
Call upon me while I'm near. The devil will make us think that God is so hard. People will make us think God is against us. That God is looking for an opportunity to hurt us, to punish us. And nobody wants to hear that. I know he's God. I know he's sovereign. But nobody, it's hard for people for us to understand what he's so upset about. Why he want to hurt so many folk? But it's not God. God is not wanting to hurt us.
Amen.
The reason that we suffer is not because God wants to hurt us, because we're in a sinful, fallen world.
Amen.
And he has, for his own purpose, allowed sin to have its place and its time.
Amen.
But it's only for a season. Pain is only for a season.
Amen.
Trouble is only for a season. Heartache is only for a season. But you've got to know that God is not against you. But he is for us. And if it is so simple that the enemy wants to complicate.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he says it can't be that simple.
Right.
It can't be that simple that all I need to do is place my faith in Jesus Christ. That's it? That's it?
Yeah.
And he says it can't be that simple. Nothing is that easy. Well, I didn't say it was easy. And it certainly was not easy for God. He paid a great price. But Romans chapter number 8, verse number 3. Let's look at it in the King James Version first, Sister Christian. Caleb, there you go. Romans chapter number 8. We're looking at verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So I wanted you to see what God has done for us, and I wanted to just drop this little nugget into your spirit of what God has done for us. Because we have the law and we have grace. Go back to that first part. We have the law and we have grace. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That is a mouthful. But what it's telling us is the law could not do it. The law could only do one thing for us. The law could tell us that we had a problem. Tell us we had sin. But it couldn't help us. Now let's look at it in the New Living Translation. Caleb. Romans 8, 3. The law of Moses was unable to do what?
Save us.
Because of the nature of it, because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Meaning the law was okay. The law said, this is good, this is wrong, this is right. But it couldn't do us any good because in our sinful flesh, we could not keep the law consistently. So the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners had. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. And though we still have to battle with our sins, our sinful nature, it no longer has authority over us.
Amen.
And God doesn't condemn us.
Amen.
Because we don't measure up. God doesn't condemn us.
Amen.
Never again does he condemn us. Christians can go about their lives and just go about doing good until the Lord comes, because he is in no kind of way, and in no sense of the word, is he mad at us, angry at us, and even our sins. Now, the sin that we commit now, God doesn't hold them against us because he's already taken care of it. And so he says, I don't want you to be condemned. Not only did I take care of sin, I've taken care of the sorrows, all of the troubles and the pains and all those things that you have to go through and you wish it would be over. The time is coming when it will be over. Because the reason we have troubles and trials and sorrow and sadness is because of sin. It's all connected together. But God dealt with it. Now, Caleb, you'll go to the Message Bible. And you'll have to go to Romans chapter number 8. And you may not find verse 3. So just go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 in the Message Bible. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful deliverer, the dilemma of sin and sickness and sorrow and how are we going to ever get to it and do we ever measure up? Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. Read. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faded lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. This is going to be over soon. We don't have anything to be afraid about.
Amen.
Let's look at this next verse. I like the way it said it. God went for the jugular.
Uh-huh.
What's the jugular? That vein in there, that real thick vein in there, that if they cut you there, you bleed out real quick. Say, when God was fighting against sin for us, he went for the jugular. He dealt sin a death blow. God went for the jugular. When he sent his own son, he didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition and entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity, in order to set it right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love this. Once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was, by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And whenever you read the law, it condemns you. It says, thou shalt not. And everybody may not know that you've done it, but you know it. And it sends a signal.
Yeah.
Whenever you hear of thou shalt not commit this, thou shalt not commit that. Some of them don't bother you because you ain't done that. But if you know, if it gets too deep, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not lust.
Yeah.
When it tells you, don't be jealous, don't be envious, don't be hatred, don't be divisive, don't backbite, don't talk about people, don't lie.
Amen.
If you just go through and read all the law, it's going to cut you. And it'll condemn you, but it cannot help you. It's just a band-aid. But God had a plan. It's not that the law was a problem. The law was not good. But I'm going somewhere. Let's go to Romans chapter number 7, Caleb. This time we're going to go there in the New Living Translation, Romans chapter number 7. And let's go to verse number 14. 7:14. Now remember, the reason we have trouble is because of sin. The reason we have sadness is because of sin. The reason we have sickness is because of sin. The reason we have poverty is because of sin. Fights because of sin. Everything that is negative is because of sin. So, when God dealt with the sin problem, he dealt with all the rest of it. And he says, if I dealt with that, I'm going to deal with the rest of it. So the trouble is not with the law. Do y'all hear this?
Yes.
For the law is spirit; it is spiritual and good.
Good.
The trouble is with
me.
slave to sin. I often tell couples, you have to get you, if you're going to be married, if you're going to be able to stay married to somebody, you're going to have the one thing you got to come into marriage with is a big old basket. Well, and it, not just marriage. If you're going to have a relationship with people, period. Period. You've got to come into the relationship with a big old basket of forgiveness. I mean, get the biggest bag, the biggest jug you can find, because you're going to need it. Because we're going to misunderstand each other. We're going to hurt each other. We're going to let each other down. We're going to try to meet, but we're just going to miss each other. I'm going to let you down. And people say, should I trust him? Should I trust her? To a certain extent, you can't trust me to be perfect.
Amen.
You can't trust me to ever let you down.
Amen.
If you trust me to never let you down, you're going to be in trouble.
Amen.
If you trust me and say, oh, I know my husband will never do that. Your girlfriend come and tell you, honey, guess what? Let me tell you what your husband did. Let me tell you what he said. No, I don't care what you say. You trying to break up my happy home? No, no, no. Oh, don't fool yourself, girl. He will.
Amen.
Don't fool yourself, girl. You will.
Amen.
We are messed up humans. And we hurt each other. And this is one thing you have to get out of your vocabulary. The Bible says, be not weary in well doing. You say, I try to love her. I try to love him. I keep on doing it and I'm tired. The Bible says, Don't get tired. Keep you a big old bag of what? Forgiveness. You're gonna need it. And it's gonna come at the most opportune time. Just when you're trying to be sweet.
Yeah.
He gonna miss you. She gonna miss you. They gonna disappoint you. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human. A slave to sin. Next verse. I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what is wrong or what I hate. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is what?
Good.
So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't do I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin or sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. And I thought about this wonderful commercial. This message is not going to be very long. It's very simple. Some of you have heard this commercial. The a man and a woman are laying on the floor. And a guy in a security uniform is standing right there beside them. And they're in a bank, and a man comes in and says, "This is a robbery. This is a stick-up." And the lady on the floor says, "Hey, aren't you going to do something about it?"
Right.
He says, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not a security guard. I'm not a security guard. I'm not a security policeman. I'm not a policeman. I'm not here to help you with your problem. I'm just pointing it out to you. That's a robbery." That's what the law does. The law can't help me. It just points it out. But what the law could not do, God sent Jesus in sinful flesh. You get that? So they say you better get LifeLock. Amen? That's what I'm saying. You better get Jesus because all the law is going to do, if you just read the Bible and don't accept Jesus Christ, it won't help you. Because it can only tell you where you're wrong, and you can only try, but you'll never really measure up. And so they upgraded the commercial. And this time, there's a guy sitting in a dentist chair. And he says, "Ooh, Mr. Jones, if you will, that looks pretty bad. That's a bad cavity there. All right." And he leaves. He said, "Aren't you going to fix that?" He says, "No, I'm not a dentist. I'm a dental monitor. I'm just here to let you know that you got a problem." And then they got a little black lady there. She said, "That's bad. You want lunch?" "Yes." And so they go off and they leave the man right there. He said, "Aren't you going to fix that?" "No, I'm not a dentist. I'm a dental monitor. I'm just here to let you know it's bad." "That's bad." That's what sin does. It just tells you, the law does that. It just tells you that your situation is what? Bad. Your condition is bad. But the law cannot help you in any kind of way. But Jesus did for you what the law could not do. So that's why we have in our Bible, we have what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, within the Old Testament is a covenant. Now, you hear me say this. The Old Testament has not passed away. What has passed away? The Old Covenant has passed away. Not the Old Testament. The Bible is made up of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And within the Old Testament and the New Testament are covenants. In the Old Testament is the Old Covenant. And that Old Covenant simply said, the law is here to tell you that you're wrong. But it can't help you. That's why we got Jesus.
Yeah.
And we got a new, not only a New Testament, but a new covenant.
Yeah.
A new agreement. And God made this new agreement on our behalf, but he made it with himself. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost made this covenant with himself for our benefit. And so we go back down to the last verse there. 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and what?
Death.
And the answer is, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, it is in my mind. I really want to do, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. But God has dealt with it for us. He took care of the problem. And what we want to see is that our future is glorious. Caleb, let's go back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. This time, let's look at verse number 18. And let's look at it in the, the message. Let's try to look at Romans chapter number 8, verse 18. There it is. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming what?
Good times.
Good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns it in until both creation and all creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead.
My God.
Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pains. It's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in waiting. We are, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become. And the more joyful our what? Expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something what?
Good.
God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset. This is the purpose. This is our vision. This is what God is doing. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in line of humanity he restored. We see the original and attended shape of our lives there in him, talking about Jesus. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by his name, by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end. See that? God doesn't leave us. He stays with us to the end until we make it, until we become what he wants us to be. Gloriously completing what he has begun. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God doesn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And God, and who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment. Stick it up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, not threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in a cold blood, and kill us in cold blood because they hate us. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. They kill us. None of this phases us because Jesus what?
Loves us.
Loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Amen. What more can we say? Amen. God has taken care of all of your problems for you. And all the things that you come up against in the near future, he's going to take care of those too. Amen. Amen. Now, Sims, if you'll come, give us our. Invitation.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Praise the Lord. All about him. He the one called us and